Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Indie Authors Roundtable. I'm your host, R.L. Jackson, author of the Crashing and Bulwark series and the On the Set and Departed Soul series coming soon. I'm also the editor-in-chief of Indie Authors Monthly magazine. Welcome.
Hi, this is Carol P. Roman, and I'm also one of the authors in the Bulwark anthology under the name Britt London, and I've written over 50 children's books under the name Carol P. Roman. I also am an editor on Indie Authors Monthly magazine. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. Today we are introducing you to a friend of mine. Her name is Robin Crawford, and she is the founder of a new online bookstore for romance authors called Eden Books. You can find that at www.edenbooks.org. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, we're super excited to have you here. So tell our listeners, you know, what Eden Books is about, and introduce yourself to them.
Sure. So in a nutshell, Eden Books is a multi-vendor marketplace and social media platform dedicated to romance and women's fiction. So what does that really mean? It means that we are sort of that combination of Etsy and Facebook in one platform, specifically for the romance genre. I'm a romance blogger for the last several years. I've served as a personal assistant to a number of indie romance authors, and I've done some editing on the side. So I'm pretty entrenched in the community, and launched Eden on March 1st after a year of research, development, and build. And it's really an answer to the large online retailers who are continuing to abuse and mistreat the romance authors and the readers. And so this is just sort of an alternative to Amazon and Apple and the big guys who don't seem to have much respect for our community. So that's what I got angry and launched a platform.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that definitely is. Like, you know, like when I first heard about it, you know, me and Carol were thinking of doing the same thing with Indie Authors Monthly magazine. We actually do have a store for authors to sell their books, but we didn't get to go as in-depth into that as we wanted. But when I heard about Eden Books, I was like, oh my gosh, like, you're actually doing it, but on such a huge scale. I was, you know, one of those people that has been gritting my teeth, like, somebody needs to do something, because at the time, I think the biggest scandal last year about March was the Cocky Gate situation, where the author tried to copyright or trademark the word cocky, and then all the book stuffing and all the crooked stuff going on at Amazon that they know about, but they weren't doing anything about. And somebody said, you know what, enough is enough. It's time for us to basically fight back in a way. So I really respect your platform for doing that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I initially just got really angry in August 2017. I am a huge fan of Christy Webster, and she wrote a book called The Wild. And Amazon banned it because of content. And I thought, but we have very taboo content within other genres on Amazon. Those books are sold, you know, by the hundreds of thousands, but those books are written by men, and they're marketed primarily to male readers. And so it felt like a bit of an attack to me, but I also thought it was a one-off. And then it kept happening. More books were being banned because of content or covers. Cocky Gate came out, which was just beyond ridiculous. ridiculous with the way Amazon responded to that situation. The continual book stuffing, reviews not being posted, our authors of color and stories within the LGBTQ community continuing to be buried at the bottom where they're not visible. It's just so much. And I'm just angry. And I just figured something had to be done. And I kept thinking, surely somebody else is going to do it. And I got to a point where I thought, well, maybe that person is me. So went into full on development mode, built the site, and then we launched it because there was real urgency to me to bring an alternative to the community. And here we are 3.5 months in, going strong, and that makes me very, very happy because we are just at the beginning of our story, and I think we're in for a good long ride that will have a happily ever after for everyone who uses our platform.
So in other words, you are putting books out there. Let's say you're specifically going after romances, and you're making them available at pretty much competitive price that Amazon would. The only difference is you're not targeting people that you don't want on there. In other words, it's a level playing field.
Absolutely. It is niche specific. So, you know, we definitely are looking for the romance lover, but authors have control. Authors are the ones who upload their books to the site. They set the price. They can put the covers on their books that best represent their stories and their characters. And so the real mission behind Eden is to give control to the authors so that they can then market and brand and sell their books that in the way that they need to, in the way that best fits their business model, and to not be dictated to with their artistic creativity. The idea that a writer in 2019 would be banned because of content is just infuriating. These books are marketed towards adults. We are
what kind
old
of content did they?
Capable.
Yeah, what did they ban? Was it because it was sexual content?
Because of sexual content,
it was,
and the relationship between these two particular characters. They banned it. Game of Thrones continues on.
Well, for this particular taboo book, I know you know that she is a friend of yours and she is, you know, prominently on Eden's site. But for me, that content isn't something that I would read. But to people who enjoy it, like you said, in 2019, nobody's stuff should be getting banned. And especially if they have books that were being targeted to men, written by men that was similar, like you, not to be vulgar, but if you go to any of these, and I don't think we have kids that really listen to our show, but if you go to any pornography site, if you're into that thing, you're going to see very similar things that, you know, men are into, that, you know, these preteen girls or these teen, like, it's just so... what's the word?
If they're allowing it
exactly.
to come on through, let's say, famous authors or, you know, or maybe established authors, then they have to allow everybody. I mean, the choice is yours whether you want to buy it or not, or if they don't want to show it, they could put it in a separate place where you have to click extra to get into it and say, this is our noir site or whatever you want to call it, but to actually boycott somebody when they put inflammatory,
absolutely.
They put inflammatory political stuff up, and it's varying point of view. So it's all Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and
without
that's
question,
part,
and, you know, I typically reference it. And look, I am a fan of Game of Thrones. I am a fan of George Martin, but his books, contained incest, misogyny, brutality, extreme violence. These books
Let me tell
are
you something.
Not...
Yeah.
I watched the first. five episodes, and then I had to stop. And I can take a lot of stuff. I was a war historian, so I studied war, and I know about the brutality of war. But there was so much stuff that I felt that in this day and age that people were watching how they were portraying women as just objects to be given away to whatever. I was offended by it. I told my kids, you can watch. I'm not going to tell you not to watch. But I couldn't believe that this is what was so popular. When I went to the ballet yesterday, 2 days ago, and it was Le Corsaire, which translates to the pirate, you know, the corsair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very famous ballet written by Byron.
Yeah.
It was a poem written by Byron in the 19th century where he writes about a pirate, and it's very appropriate to its time period. But there was a disclaimer, and I've been going to the ballet for 35 years. There was a disclaimer in the program saying, there is slavery, rape, and subjugation of women, but this is what we're not propagating it. We're not saying that this is the way it should be, but this is what was written into this ballet.
Right.
And then even
right.
if you go, you've heard about My Fair Lady on Broadway, right? They changed the ending.
Oh yeah.
It was a subtle change, but they changed it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they changed it. So my point is how is it okay for some and not for the others? So you feel definitely that women authors are being targeted.
Well, it certainly feels that way, and perhaps I'm being unfair, but it certainly feels that way when you have, you know, 25% of general fiction read in the U.S. is romance. And so when you have books that such a huge portion of readers are women, and the vast majority of the authors are women, and their books are being banned, or authors are being asked to rewrite content or to recover books. And in the case of the erotica category, which is hugely popular within the community, Amazon all but, you know, killed it and started burying erotic books, it does feel a little, you know, gender targeted. And
right.
maybe that's an unfair statement for me to say, but as I am living this every day, struggling to find the books that I want to read, and I admit, I like the dark and dirty, which is how I first discovered Christie several years ago. And she has become a wonderful friend and confidant over the years. But the fact that as an adult, I'm a 44-year-old woman, I should be able to make the decision as to what book it's a book. That's the thing. This is a book. We're not talking about, you know, pornographic videos being sold. We're not talking about graphic television where you're bringing that into your home and a child could access it. We're talking about books typically sold in an e-version on a device that is passcode protected. So how are we banning these books, and why is that happening? And the fact that Amazon is doing it and they're continuing to do it and they don't have a problem doing it, it's just problematic for me, because my mother doesn't dictate to me how I'm going to live my life. I'm sure I'm not going to have Amazon dictate what I can and cannot bring into the privacy of my home in form of entertainment. So, it does feel targeted at this point towards women, because this is such a dominant female-based industry, and it's shameful. It's just shameful.
It is, and I see a shift happening. Like, you know, you shared an article the other day about Barnes & Noble, and I read the whole thing, and that thing was like the size of a newspaper, not newspaper, but a phone book to me, because it was so long. But it was so good. I think I sent it to you as well, Carol. But it was basically, you know, it spelled out how the downfall of Barnes and Noble and the book industry happened once Amazon got on, you know, on board. But, you know, the way the big five publishing kind of sat back and laughed at indies and laughed at ebooks and thought it was all just going to be, you know, a joke until they started losing all of their authors and stuff. And so now I see people like Susan Tisdale, who just started Glenfinnan Publishing. So now she has her own publishing house. And she's a huge activist when it comes to a lot of these, you know, cocky gates and book stuffers and, you know, all of the crooked stuff going on Amazon side. Now her whole answer to that is to do her own publishing. And then I see people like mm-hmm. you, your answer to where you can buy your books is to start your own thing. And that's what I think is going to happen. People are going to start pulling out of Amazon slowly but surely, and Bezos' own words are going to come back to haunt him when he said eventually Amazon is going to fail in that regard as far as books go, because people are just tired. You could feel it and see it everywhere, except for those scamming everything and getting all those the quick, fast money. You know, they're okay.
Right.
But the rest of us, you know, we can't buy a Starbucks coffee with what we get paid from Amazon most of the time. So
right.
Just,
well, they've all, even Ingram, you know, they've raised the printing costs. So they've increased the printing costs and they've lowered the commission that you're making less than half of what you used to make. I mean, at least I know I am. I sell a lot of paperback, and mm-hmm. because I write the children's books, and those are primarily paperbacks. And it really, all of a sudden, I noticed that my monthly income from the books had been reduced. And when I looked at what it cost, they said, well, you see, publishing costs have gone up, so we're biting into your commission. So why aren't they charging more for the book? So it's kind of like, but they are charging more for the book, but we're getting less. It just works out that who gets screwed in the end, the artist. You know, it almost doesn't pay to be publishing.
With Amazon's Kindle Unlimited, there's this mindset amongst the reader, and I think I can safely say this is across genres, not just romance specific, although I certainly see it primarily in the romance community, that for $9.99 a month, they're getting to take out up to 10 books at a time, and therefore that makes it more affordable to read. What a lot of readers aren't thinking about is that, you know, it's pennies on the dollar that an author is paid for those books. And so an author has to have thousands of books coming into the KU program and being downloaded by readers and read in order to make any type of money.
That's right.
The scamming that's going on, that so many have scammed the program, so the validity of the program just isn't there anymore, because now anybody can make money by just adding pages in the back. I do believe Amazon is slowly cracking down on that, but it has run rampant for years. And ultimately for authors, this mentality of the only way I can make money and be profitable is using Kindle Unlimited, it is doing such disservice to them and to the publishing industry as a whole, because they're putting all their eggs in that basket. And when it comes crumbling down and we are seeing definitive cracks in the KU program, they're going to be stuck wondering why their eggs are broken and they don't know what to do and how to put things back together. But I think KU has just done such damage to the reader mindset of, this is a quality book, I want to read this book, and I'm willing to pay for this book. Because now you hear by so many people, well, I can't afford more than $9.99 a month. Well, that's great. Then spend $9.99 a month and buy three books that you can now keep and not have to, you know, not rent them.
Right.
And support the author fully. And I think, so I do think that on the one hand, Kindle Unlimited has done some really good things, but overall it has just damaged the industry beyond recognition. And it's going to take a while for authors to really recover from this.
Well, you know, the traditional publishing houses don't go, they put their books out wide. They don't go into KU.
Yeah.
They don't,
yeah.
I mean, they don't. We went into KU because we were in CreateSpace, and I think what he created CreateSpace to get a lot of authors, and that's what he did. He filled up like a stable of authors, all these wannabes, people who wanted to break out, and he put them in KU, and he built and he destroyed. I think he actually destroyed the whole publishing industry, and.
Yeah.
And what happened was we were, I know that I was in KU with my, I do my son's books and my books, and I pulled out for a while, and I went wide, and I sold much less. You have to really invest in having a huge advertising budget to really hit that market. So I went back to KU unhappily, but along the way, several of our books were invited back, so I think he was needing content. I think a lot of people were leaving.
We're definitely seeing more of a withdrawal, and I know I've had a number of authors who've contacted me to say, hey, right now I'm kind of stuck in KU purgatory, and as soon as I can get out of this, I'm going wide. And I do recognize to a certain extent selling in KU means that all an author has to do is write the book, upload the book, and it sort of sells to a certain point on its own. But I think what authors are forgetting is that you're a business. And just as with any business, you have to market. You have to put the work in to sell your books. If you're solely relying on Amazon or any other one entity to sell your book for you, you're not going to be successful in the long run. I mean, in the short term, yeah, you might bring in bank. But if you're looking at sustaining your career, you have to understand how to run your business, and that is every aspect of it. And so I certainly applaud, you know, authors who are coming together to talk about what they're doing for marketing and promotion and what they're spending and why and where they're focusing their attention. And they're really pulling together, in at least in our community, in the romance community, because it's essential. They authors have to open their eyes to the reality of what's happening right now, and they have to diversify. But more than anything, they have to understand, as much as it's going to suck because they are creative people, they are business people, and they have to run their business accordingly. So, and I'm sort of preaching this to a lot of the authors right now. So as I'm doing as much marketing for Eden Books, I'm also marketing the books on the platform. So I'm doing double duty marketing, and it is hard. And it is, there are days when I just want to throw my hands up and walk away, but I'm in this fight because I'm committed and I want to see my platform succeed, because if my platform succeeds, it means authors succeed. But the authors have to do their work. They cannot rely solely on one person making it happen, or one entity making it happen for them. And I think there's a little bit of a disconnect at times between the creative side and the business side. And that we have to figure out a way to get authors to merge them together and get out of the KU or get off the KU wheel and start thinking about diversification and going wide, because ultimately they're going to hit more readers. They just have to stick with it.
So if an author wants to put their book on Eden Books, do they have to be exclusive to you?
No, no. And that for me, right from the beginning, was critical. I certainly want authors to come to Eden, but I want them to sell on the other platforms, because Eden won't be for every reader. And I totally recognize that, and I understand that. But if that's the case, that means that that reader could be found on iBooks, or they could be found through Kobo. So I don't want to limit the reader reach for an author by making them exclusive to Eden. I certainly hope they opt to use our platform, and we are certainly going to do our very best to promote them, but they are not exclusive to us. It's too important to their career to keep it wide across as many platforms to reach as many readers as possible.
So my question to you is, in the future, do you ever see Eden Books expanding outside of just romance only, or is it strictly always going to be romance as the main trope?
So this is a really, this is probably my number one most asked question. I will never say never. Right now, I need to make sure that I can get this foundation good and solid, and then I can build on it. I love the idea of expanding into other genres and becoming a niche bookstore for other genres. Selfishly, and Carol, we're going to have to talk some more. I have a whole series of children's books that I want to write based on a dear friend's potbelly pig. And some of the other animals in my life. And so it would be kind of nice to branch out and create a division within the Eden Books brand that's solely children's books, so I could sell my books on there, and I can sell Carol's books on there.
Thank you. I'd love that.
Now, yeah, absolutely. But for right now, in the immediate forecast, with a some of the things that I'm really wanting to focus on for Eden, it is going to be romance and women's fiction specific for the immediate future. But give me 5 years and I'll start to branch out. Oh, no, we've not started the goal plan right now.
Well, whenever you're ready to work on your book, RL will give you my number. I don't mind helping out. In fact, you know, I've written a book called Navigating Indie World, which is all about publishing a book. And in my case, it was all children. I started out in children's books, and then I branched out.
Okay, Robin, yeah, so could you tell me what is – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to say the series of children's books is something I've been carrying around now for about 2.5 years. And so one day I will be able to finally sit down and give the adventures of Ziggy Piggy the attention that I hope I can really properly give it. So we'll totally talk.
Great. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it is Ziggy Piggy. Yeah.
What's next for Eden Books? Anything that you have, like a new feature you're working on? Anything you want to share with the audience?
Yeah. So, you know, as much as I kind of dislike Kindle Unlimited, I am looking at and working with my team here in Gainesville, Florida, which is sort of our home base, to implement a subscription program, but it's going to be vastly different from Kindle Unlimited. What we're looking at doing is creating a tiered subscription program. So for those readers who say, I can't spend a lot of money or I can't afford, we're going to give them maybe a price point that's a little bit more comfortable to their monthly budget. The difference is that they get to keep the books. I think that's just something that is important. We're not sure yet, you know, how many books within each tier they'll be able to keep, but they will be able to at least keep, you know, a good number of the books that they download from their subscription plan. And we're looking to have that rolled out later on this year. And then we are focusing attention on creating an all-encompassing app for the site so that we'd like something that not only allows readers to access the information, the books on the site, the social media platform, which I think a lot of people are still getting used to the idea of going someplace to buy a book, but then having the ability to talk about that book and join an author's reader group and have all of that in one on one platform. But I'm hoping that our app will also be able to become an e-reader so that it is literally an all-in-one. You press that app, you open that app, and you can stay in that app for as long as you want. So I've likened it to sort of creating an online casino where there are no windows, there are no clocks. I want you to be on the site and lose time and lose yourself and have fun and find great books.
Oh, awesome. Well, I just want to say we have about 10 seconds here before our show ends, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the show. Like, it's been really great to get your insight and see what it is you're doing with Eden Books. For everybody listening, please go to Eden Books at www.edenbooks.org and sign up for an account. It's free. Take a look at all the amazing books that she has up there. Support authors. Leave reviews. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thanks again, Robin, for being here today. And we will see
you
guys next
so
time
much.
At the roundtable. You're welcome.